Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And as I always say, if you can't listen live, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and punch in the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. You'll get every single show we've ever done along with the dates, so there's no excuse for missing a show on air. Welcome, everyone. Big basketball week, and we're going to keep that going tonight as we have our very special guest that we talked to the last Wednesday of the month, and we're going to do that year-round, and I'll bring him on in just a moment, but I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And, you know, I'm also on LinkedIn at Greg Crawford, a whole bunch of things. So Facebook, Greg Crawford. I'm trying to use various aliases, different names, so just mix up my name a little bit there occasionally. But as I said, we have a very special guest tonight, Damian Jabulonski, the outstanding assistant coach at Whitworth University, which has a terrific basketball program. And Damian, last time we talked to you, you were in the heat of the battle for the playoffs and everything. And by the way, how are you tonight? And kind of sum up what you feel personally about the 15-season season for Whitworth.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Greg. I appreciate it. And it's always great to be able to talk with you. It is a big week of basketball, so I'm sure we got a lot to go through. But yeah, the end of our season. Let's see. When I talked to you, I think we were just going into the postseason. So we wrapped up another Northwest Conference regular season and tournament championship, which was pretty incredible. And went on to the NCAA tournament. I think we finished the season 26-2. We were ranked number one in the country for 4 weeks at one point in the season. Again, I think it was our 10th straight NCAA tournament. Came up a little shorter than we would have liked to go on the run, but, you know, it was a great all-around year. A lot of success for our guys, both individually and team-wise. So another great year, and obviously once you get over the sting of the season being over, you can really reflect on it and appreciate all that you had accomplished.
Very good. I'll take that sting out right now. That's a tremendous year for you. And let me ask you, even though we're probably, 4 months, 5 months out from maybe the start of practice or the start right. of the 16-17 season, and I don't want our listeners to get me wrong here, but what are you most looking forward to at the present time, knowing we are a little bit out the 16-17 season?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, when the season ends and it for all but one team, it ends with some sort of sting, and you kind of go through a mourning process of sorts. And then really we're in the stage right now where there's almost a reawakening, a renaissance, and you get excited already for the next year, and this is the time when you start developing the vision and looking at all the ways that you can get better. So even though it might be several months away, it'll creep up on us quicker than we believe. So, yes, it's an exciting time. We lose four seniors, two guys who are actually Portland area guys whose careers were cut a little short because of injury, but Brandon Loyler from Lake Ridge and then A.J. Grant from Newburgh were two Portland guys that we lose to graduation. And then really, really steady point guard and Matt Stoddicker, who came to us after transferring from Division II, Simon Frazier. And then finally, George Valley, who's really been Mr. Whitworth since he stepped on campus. He started every single game of his career here, was Conference Player of the Year this year, and actually an All-American and Academic All-American. So just, you know, four really, really valuable players. But the good news is we've got a lot of returners, so already really excited about what we have in the stable coming back. Kenny Love was Conference Player of the Year 2 years ago for us, and he's just really a special player who has ability to score in a lot of ways, and his personal growth has been really exciting to witness. And so, you know, just it's awesome to have him back. Christian Zerlina, another first-team all-conference guy. He's from Sydney, Australia, and kind of a utility knife in his ability. He can shoot it. He's good off the bounce. He's especially really good in his mid-range game. As a 1,000-point scorer. And then we have another starter coming back, Drew Sears, who's a 6'10 center, and he really anchored our defense this year with his rim protection and ability to block shots. So, you know, we've got three starters coming back and then a whole lot of other great contributors as well. So there's a lot to be excited about just in our returners.
Very good. Damian, for our listeners that listen around the world tonight, tell us exactly in your own words, what is Whitworth basketball? What's it really like? And when I say that, I had the privilege of, you know, I realize it's a long time ago, and I'm not one of these guys in the good old days, but you never forget them. I was at Linfield in the heyday where the professors,
right.
If there was a professor meeting, missing the game, you'd go over to his house and get him over to the game. Standing room only every night. Granted, small arena. But in that word, it was just something special you never forget. And I can see Whitworth being like that right now.
Yep. You know, I think if you ask any coach, probably two of the most difficult things to establish are tradition and culture. And, you know, we're at a point right now in Whitworth basketball where we have a really strong and positive tradition and culture. And what that means is, you know, both with inside the locker room and also in on our own campus and in our community, there's just a lot of support for our program. And I think, you know, our guys feed off of that. So yeah, Whitworth basketball, what it's like to be Whitworth, you know, part of Whitworth basketball. I really do think it goes beyond just our locker room. We have great student support. We have tremendous faculty support and community support. So, you know, our environment is often very rowdy, and it's always really supportive. And I think that game atmosphere is something that, especially at our level, is unique and is really something special that our players enjoy and are blessed to be a part of. And then, you know, we have a great culture. It's not just about the players or the coaches, you know, right now. It's a tradition that's been established and built up from all of our alumni and former players and former coaches for many, many years. So it's definitely a fun time to be a part of Whitworth basketball, and we do our best to try and be stewards of the program and keep things rolling.
And before I talked to you tonight, I went on and looked at the softball and baseball standings in the Northwest Conference, and both of Whitworth's teams are atop those standings as of right now. So it just doesn't stop with basketball, but, you know, basketball is pretty special, and you know, it's kind of interesting. Football, Linfield, basketball, Whitworth, you've had two pretty dominant programs in the last 10 to 15 years, which I think that's good for a league, because when Whitworth basketball comes to town, everybody wants to beat them. Same way for any top football team.
You bet. I mean, there's a lot of great things going on in our conference, and the ability for our conference to compete nationally, especially being out on an island geographically. When you look at the landscape of Division III athletics, it says a lot. You know, you can add quite a few other sports. George Fox women's basketball has obviously been extremely competitive at the national level, you know, in the last decade, and I know that there are plenty of others. So, yeah, you know, it bodes well for our conference to have so many strong programs in a variety of sports that are able to compete nationally. I think right now, at least last I saw, maybe last week, we have four spring sports ranked in the top 25 in the nation, both the two that you mentioned, softball and baseball, and then also both our men's and women's track are ranked in the top 25. So, yeah, you know, it's pretty neat to see both within Whitworth a variety of sports and then also just the Northwest Conference being as competitive as it is.
Yeah, a great point on your part and a remiss on my part of mentioning the George Fox women's basketball, which has been terrific. And now, of course, now that Scott Ruick's moved on, it's continued, and he's doing a tremendous job at Oregon State. Switching gears a little bit, Damian, you know, when you watch the NCAA tournament this week and basketball people are going to watch it, just is there just a smidgen of you that kind of grits your teeth and saying, you know, in the Northwest Conference, everybody does things right. It's the true student athletes. And I realize it's Division III, but Division I, but it's still basketball. And you got two teams playing on Saturday that have had a little fraudulent activity lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little bit disappointing the way that plays out. You know, sometimes a slap on the wrist is what it seems like it is, and you know, some teams probably benefit from operating in the gray area or worse than that. So yeah, there's definitely a little bit of you as a coach, like you said, you know, in a division where hopefully people are doing things the right way, and you know, you never know what everybody else is doing, but I know at Whitworth we're doing our best to do everything the way it should be done. So yeah, it can be a little bit frustrating as a basketball fan. Unfortunately, maybe the way that it is in our society is people turn an eye or have a short-term memory and forget about those things.
Yeah, very, very well said. You know, along the terms of student-athlete, I don't think sometimes people think much about it, and thus they don't realize how tough it is at the Division III level to be a student-athlete. Or to participate in an extracurricular like debate or music, because school is not exactly easy.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I had this discussion actually with a faculty member just earlier today, and we were talking about how our student athletes in general do in the classroom. And one thing that was, I think, an interesting observation is that a lot of times student athletes, especially when they're, or not just student athletes, but maybe it's music or maybe it's debate, but things that involve a lot of focus and dedication, it translates to the classroom so frequently. So, you know, you might have swimmers who get up at 5 a.m. and swim every morning with tremendous dedication. It's pretty frequent that same dedication and focus translates into what they do academically. So, you know, and that's part of and a huge part of what you're trying to do as a coach is use athletics as a platform to teach life skills and values that are going to carry these student athletes to be successful business people and successful husbands and wives and just members of the community in general. So, yeah, it's hard. And there's times when you kind of marvel at the way that kids are able to do it. You know, I look back on it at a time when our players are going through finals, you know, and I look back and I can still remember how stressful that time is. And, you know, that time was when you're trying to cram for, you know, your finals, and it's very important aspect of what you're doing. And then you have all these other things and we're putting them through rigorous physical activity at the same time. Yeah, you definitely marvel at it. But They're able to do it, and that's part of what we're hoping to teach them is how to do these things and manage your time and manage your energy and be productive with your time. So
along those lines, there was quite a discussion last weekend between Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley on the telecast about the role of a college basketball coach. And they did a great job with the discussion, leaving one thing out. They talked about, you know, what a college basketball coach needs to do, sending young men and women out into society, being prepared. But they failed to mention, in a lot of cases now it's changed dramatically. They also got to win. And it's kind of like the attitude of, what have you done for me tomorrow? And it is sad in a way to see that it's gotten such like that, especially looking at the coaching carousel.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt it gets skewed like that. You're definitely aware of that as a college coach when you get to the NCAA tournament and you're watching these teams, and you see the lower seeded team that has the big upset or makes the big tournament run, and there's several of them that we you can point to this year, and then ultimately that win or two wins in the tournament seems to often translate to hundreds of thousand dollars of of raise for a college coach to move on to a different job immediately afterwards. And that is kind of telling as to how much winning is a measure that is used. And ultimately we do, we want to win as coaches. We're all competitive and that is a goal, but you try the best. I know we try the best we can to, like I said earlier, use it as a platform to teach a lot of other lessons. And I really, really believe in that your measure of success cannot be based solely on wins and losses, because if it is, you're really missing a huge opportunity to impact people's lives. I think last time we spoke, I talked about being a coach is really being an educator, and being a teacher. And so those other life lessons are ultimately probably more important than the wins and losses. But yeah, it definitely is telling the way that coaches get jobs and lose jobs based on it. And, rightfully so, people want to see success, and hopefully, not everybody is equal in their abilities as a coach, but yeah, it can be a quick hook if you're not getting it done at a lot of levels. Luckily not maybe as much at our level, because there's a lot of good coaches that don't have the same talent to work with, and don't, like I talked about, tradition and culture being something that's hard to develop. They're in the midst of that process, and it takes time. If you look back and remember, Coach K almost lost his job at Duke early on before he really got it rolling, and we know what kind of a coach he is today. So,
how about last time we talked to you, we talked about how great the three college basketball teams are and were in Spokane, Damian. And, congratulations once again to Coach Groth at Spokane Community College, winning the 36-team NWAC. You guys were fabulous all year. And Gonzaga, all you got to do is say Gonzaga. Is there any synergy between the three schools? I mean, do the coaches talk much, get together? Is there any relationship there besides, I'm sure, always being proud that you're in Spokane and they're doing well?
There's actually a whole lot of relationships. First of all of those, those other two staffs are, you know, we have really strong relationships with and a lot of different ties. Great people. Start with Jeremy, you know, congratulations to Coach Groth and his, you know, Spokane Community College team and winning that NWAC championship. I was over there for a good part of that tournament, and boy, does his team play hard. And you know, I was really, really happy for him. You know, our kids, Jeremy and my son and my daughter actually go to the same daycare. So oftentimes I'll see Jeremy after school when we're both doing our dad duty, picking up kids. So he, what a great guy, and well-deserved. And we definitely like to talk basketball, and oftentimes have crossover in our recruiting. And, you know, we're looking at their kids, and we're looking at the same kids out of high school, and just a great person. And then obviously Gonzaga's been great to us in a lot of ways, and you know, a tremendous Division I program. We'll go down there and watch practices in the fall before our practices get started up, because they start earlier than us. So it's a great way for us to, you know, scratch the itch, if you will, and be able to be in a practice setting and learn. And you know, Coach Few and Coach Lloyd and all of their staff has been just really welcoming. Gonzaga's athletic director, his son actually played for us at Whitworth a few years ago. So, you know, there's some family ties there too. So, but yeah, between all three programs, very, very good relationships, and it's fun to see all of them, you know, as successful as they've been. Boy, Gonzaga, how about them for how much adversity they really had to overcome, and maybe some doubting throughout the season, but they really put it together at the end and had a great run. Unfortunately couldn't get another round farther and had that opportunity, but wow, they should be proud of all that they did as well this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was kind of interesting that when the University of Portland job opened up, you had four people in your area that, you know, when they said, oh, here would be a great list of candidates, your boss, Coach Logie, Jeremy Groth,
yeah,
Donnie Daniels, and Coach Lloyd were all mentioned at one point in that search. So, I mean, you know, even though, you know, you never know with who someone's going to hire, but I think that was pretty poignant to have all four of those people mentioned from one area.
Yeah, that's well, there's some good coaches there. So that is pretty neat. And again, I'm not in the Portland area, so I don't hear all of the talk, but that's pretty telling that we have some good coaches up here.
All right, we're heading to 16-17. It won't be that far away. Besides, you mentioned about your team, but it looks to me like, just looking at the roster and who will be, you know, showing up here in June and July as recruits, it's going to be another fabulous year for the Northwest Conference again next year, where you better have your helmet on every night or else you're going to get beat.
No doubt. There's a lot of good talent around. Obviously, you know, the other WIT down the road from us had a tremendous season, and they have a lot of returners coming back, so they'll be really strong. Just so many good coaches, and you've seen a lot of growth. I mean, PLU had a great year, and Coach Dickerson should be commended for what he did with that group. Just a really selfless team that played really well and grew throughout the year. Obviously, Coach Lund at UPS always puts together a tough team and is very so adaptable in his coaching. And we haven't even gotten to Portland yet. You know, you can always expect Coach Cleary's teams to be extremely tough and great rebounding teams, and they run a great offensive system. Denari has always gets his guys playing better and better throughout the year. I know they had some injuries in the adversity this year. You know, Shannon has really, really improved Linfield over the previous few seasons, and they're just continuing to get better. And then you've got a lot of offensive threat at George Fox, and Kip's team is always going to battle as well. So, honestly, I think I've been through all of them, and great coaches and a lot of up-and-coming teams and teams that are getting better. Our league as a whole did, I think this last year, had to have done better than any year that we've been here in the non-conference season. And that was pretty exciting to see that you know, we put together some good non-conference wins as a conference and just overall records. And that helps everybody with strength of schedule. And again, just, you know, working to up the profile of, like I said, our little island out here on the West Coast.
And Damian, along those lines is, you know, you guys have dominated the league, and hats off to you for that. But it appears once again there's not going to be any coaching changes on the men's side that I know of right now. So does that make it easier, or, you know, harder, or because you kind of know who you're coaching against, but yet on the other hand, probably not too many teams are going to out-coach the other one.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think in general, conference play all around the nation is extremely competitive, and it's telling by the fact that it's really, really difficult to get through a conference season undefeated. Really, any conference you go to, it's really, really difficult to get through a conference season undefeated. And a lot of that is because of the familiarity between coaches. And so, yeah, I think it does make it difficult because, you know, every coach makes changes year to year, personnel changes year to year. But for the most part, you know, there's going to be tendencies and styles that you begin to get familiar with, and you're able to experiment and strategize the best ways to counter those other teams' you know, strengths. And so it's going to be competitive. Conference is always like that. Like we've talked about many times, there's some really good coaches in our league. So it's not like any game is a gimme.
We got a little less than 2 minutes left along the lines of the Northwest Conference. How do you guys feel at Wentworth about moving to a 6-team playoff, or maybe going to like a Friday night, Sunday afternoon type thing of games? Does that appeal to you at all, or much thought about that? It's two things I'm really big on.
Sure. Yeah. I know. My own personal opinion, I mean, I don't mind the format of the tournament at all, and I understand the argument for more teams participating, but I also, you know, I see the other argument, which is, you know, perhaps protecting the best, protecting, if you will, the best, sending the best talent or most steady teams to the national tournament. When you open it up, you know, you can potentially have other teams. I'll give you an example. And obviously it was a great experience for the Holy Cross team that won the Patriot League this year, but they came in, I believe, as the 8th seed in the tournament. And, you know, huge credit to them. Getting through the Patriot League and getting to the NCAA tournament. That's a tremendous experience for those guys, but they only had 10 wins, I think, coming into the conference tournament. So as a whole, even though that was a great experience for that individual team, it probably wasn't the best representation of the league on a national level. So I also see that argument. You know, these things aren't things that I control either. So whatever the format is that the league decides, we're going to do our best to play within it.
Very good, Damian. We're almost out of time, so I want to thank you again for being on. You'll be back with us at the end of April. You do a terrific job. I'm honored to know you, and we're going to keep this going year-round. Thanks for an awesome
great
job again tonight.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it, and I hope everyone out there enjoys this last weekend of college basketball before we have some time off and a lot of baseball and Sports Center.
Very well said. That's Damian Jablonski, the assistant men's basketball coach at Whitworth University in Spokane, Washington, member of the Northwest Conference. He is a terrific guest, and we have him on every last Wednesday of the month, and we'll be back in April. Good night, everyone. Don't forget to make your free throws.